Obviously, this week ahead, there's a lot of excitement for kids who probably will get a lot more sweets, perhaps, than normal. It's also a horrible week for a particular group of things on this planet. Dogs, or cats. With all of the fireworks, with all of the bangers going off, we had a Westie for 12 years. His name was Max. It was the worst time of year. He'd be asleep, and all of a sudden a firework would go off, and you know it, all of a sudden with a fright, he'd be running laps around the house, his heart would be racing, the doorbell would ring, and there'd be these weirdly dressed people who were on his doorstep and freaking him out. And you'd spend your time running around after him, trying to calm him down. You would let him out to relieve himself before bed, with the hope that, real hope that a firework would not go off in that moment, and you wouldn't have to chase him around the garden. And what I was thinking about that even just for this week. Sometimes we can be in the same situation, because there I was sitting beside the dog, but our reactions to the circumstance were very different. The dog didn't understand what was going on. He was petrified because there was noises and there was lights, and he didn't understand that he wasn't in danger. He didn't understand that sitting in the house, we were safe. And so my reaction was one that was very different, simply because I understood what was going on around me. I understood that I could sit there in no danger whatsoever. I could even enjoy catching the sight of a firework out the window. There's a verse that we're going to read. Tonight's message is titled Peace Beyond Understanding. Do you want to stand with me? We're going to read from Philippians 4. So if you're physically able to stand and want that change of position, we'll stand just for the public reading of God's word from Philippians 4. Now it looks a bit like a sword drill as well. Stand up first, whoever's got it. Philippians chapter 4, and so if you're into the New Testament and you shuffle past 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll find the wee book of Philippians in here. We're going to read chapter 4 and from verse 4. So Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. You can take your seats. We'll finish the reading there at verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What Louise has shared, there's no promise of an easy life, folks. There is no simple life for anyone. If life is simple for you at the minute, you know, you just leave long enough period of time and challenges and complications and difficulties arise. Maybe if you're here tonight because you're starting to maybe investigate Christianity and you think, well, if I become a Christian, all my problems and life will go away. I'll use this to get a bit of a clean break and get just a simple life. Sorry. I'm sorry to say the Bible does not tell us that. The Bible does not promise that, not even slightly does it say that all your problems will go away and life will be easy. It's not to say that Christians will not face immense heartbreak and immense challenges. For Christians are the same, living in the same world as everybody else. We live in a world, the Bible tells us, that is broken, that is cursed. Life on this planet will include hunger, it will include pain, heartache, despair, numbness, hopelessness, abuse, and eventually death comes to us all. What a broken world. What a broken society. What a broken mind we have. What a broken body we have as a result of sin, as a result of the rejection of God's rule. And the thing is, it's a natural consequence of that rejection. If I was to get into my car right now, and I'd pull onto the Doak Road, and I'd put my right foot down, and I would close my eyes and take my hands off the steering wheel, how is that going to end? There's laws there that are in place for protection of myself and other people. And if I break that, if I decide I don't need to obey that, it's going to end in despair, it's going to end in tragedy, it's likely going to end in loss of life. Peace between mankind and God, it was lost when mankind decided to disobey and distrust and intentionally do the one simple thing that God had told them not to do, to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that moment, peace was lost between the human race and Almighty God. From that moment, mankind set ourselves up to be the enemies of God, opposed to God. The first bit of good news that we're going to look at tonight is that peace with God can definitely be restored. We're born outside of peace with God, but it can be restored to you tonight. It can be yours with certainty tonight. There's only one way, though, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through a self-help program. It's not going to come from your stopping smoking, drinking, or swearing. It's not going to come through changing your friends and your social circles. It's not going to come through getting super involved in a church or in a food bank or in a youth club. It's not even going to come from praying and reading every day. Peace with God, acceptance by God, heaven itself, becoming a child of God, the only way, the only truth, the only life comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of a broken world, the only way for peace with God is through Him. Through His death on the cross, through His resurrection, through now that He is alive, and whoever calls out to Him, He's alive, He can hear, and He's powerful enough and willing enough to answer. This is the ultimate peace. We can try to find peace in situations, but the pinnacle of peace is that we find Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We find that we don't have to make our peace with God. It's some sort of action then that we're doing. We find that Christ already did the action. Christ already finished what was needed for you and for I to have peace with God. If you've ever asked Jesus to save you, you have peace. If you have never asked the Lord to save you, you do not have peace with God. It is not something that is yours. There's a bit of irony, isn't there? No pet dogs in here, thankfully. Jesus is the only way. And so the sadness is that if you reject Jesus as the only Savior, as the only way, you decide to take the punishment of your own sin upon yourself. The punishment of that sin, the choice, the natural consequence of rejecting Christ is an eternity spent without Christ. And so there's a warning, a clear warning, even just of when we start to think about peace. But the encouragement and the excitement and the hope for those who have faith in the saving power of the Lord Jesus, that hope is, this verse says, in Christ. In Christ we have peace of God, peace with God, and it surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds. Kind of keep that analogy going. Whenever the bangers and the fireworks of life might be going on all around you, when you're in Christ, you know that in a sense it's just noise. It's not death. You know you're not in imminent danger. Now, it can sound, well, are you trying to downplay the heartbreaks and the horrible situations that happen in this life? I'm not trying to downplay them. What I am trying to say, that in comparison to the most heartbreaking situation that we face in this life, in comparison to the salvation that Christ has won for us, our problems melt away a little bit. They're not the be-all and end-all. They are not enough to crush us. It's like sitting there, hearing all of the noise and commotion, but knowing that you're safe. Knowing that ultimately, yep, there's chaos going on, but the truest part of you, your soul, has been given life. It's been made alive. It's been promised eternal life. It's been promised the presence of God. It's been promised that our greatest need has been met. So please, do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay situations that you are specifically facing. I'm not trying to say, oh, just put a smile on and it's going to be all okay. I'm saying that in comparison to our problems, peace with God overrules all of that. It is the core. It is the pinnacle. You're in Christ. You're safe. You cannot. There's no need to be sprinting around in the house with anxiousness and with fear in your heart gripping you. Because God says, it's okay. It's okay. What really matters, what really counts, has already been dealt with. The greatest danger that you were ever going to face was the danger of paying for the consequences of your own sin, but in Christ, that danger is gone. In Christ, you are protected from the wrath of God that is righteous and just. In Christ, oh, he's there. He's with us. Nothing in this life can destroy you. Nothing in this life can kill that, can take that away from you. No one and nothing can pluck you out of his hand. Christ has become all that truly matters to you whenever you ask him to save you. It means everything that you have most value in is him. This is what we mean as well by Christ is enough for me. Christ is my all. And so we've looked at peace from this one angle. We're going to look at it just for another moment, that there's not just peace with God, but there's peace even in the brokenness. In 2 Corinthians 4, that's verses that Louise and I were talking about this week as well, and 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." Louise has understood this. Louise has lived through this. We need to understand this. We will have tribulation in this world. But take heart, because Christ has overcome the world. Christ has overcome the world, and now you're in him. That makes us more than conquerors. Not because we can conquer, but because Christ has. The surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's a simple enough illustration, but it really helps me out. So if this was full of water, it'd be a little bit more difficult to squeeze than it is right now. Okay? It's really thin plastic. If I start to put a bit of pressure on this, I'm not going to put too much, or this could end really badly for me. What about when it's empty, especially? Even easier to crush. Okay? What if I was to pour out the water and I was to pour cement into this and the cement hardens? Now all of a sudden when I start to put pressure on the outside, it doesn't budge as much. The plastic is still the same. It's still the same weakness. But what's inside it now makes a difference. What's inside it is the treasure. If I was to even, never mind cement, if I was to put diamond in this, Claire, you'd love this, wouldn't you? If that was solid diamond inside this, do you think I would have any hope, no matter what kind of pressure, no matter what I hit it with, do you think that it would be crushed? Because what is stronger is inside it. He who is in us, Christ, is stronger than any of the pressures and any of the situations, no matter how horrific they are. He is stronger. He is our peace. John 16 and 33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Praise God, we are just the jars of clay. We're not the treasure. We're not the power source. We don't have to be okay in all that's going on. We just have to lift our eyes to the one who has the power, the one who will give us peace that surpasses, goes beyond our understanding. Tribulation will come. You know that. You've been through that. But Christ has overcome the world. Our lives here are like a wisp of smoke in the wind in comparison to the eternal life that we will have with him. So stick in there. Remind yourself, Christian, you're in Christ. No one can pluck you from his hand. You can get through this situation. God's not always just going to remove all of the difficulties from us, but he will go through it with us. And no matter how many fireworks are popping off around you and how much it might seem like you're in danger, you remember. You remember the peace of God will rule and guard your heart when you fix your eyes upon him. He is the one who will get us through. He will take you through. And he will take you through not just with peace that understands what's going on, because we're not always going to understand what's going on, but he will give you a peace that goes beyond understanding. It's a peace that goes beyond this world. It goes beyond logic. It goes beyond understanding what or why. It goes beyond it because it's the next level. It is outside of this world. It is a heavenly peace based from the one who came from heaven to walk this earth to win your peace with God. It's not based on our physical health. It's not based on our mental health. It's not based on how happy we feel or our emotional state. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on anything other than who we are now in Christ. It's not that we don't feel afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, or struck down, but Christ has made sure that there's no killer blow coming. There's nothing is going to crush you because he is in you. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the treasure that is within. Rejoice that no matter what comes, no matter how much pressure you feel, you're a jar of clay, but the surpassing power is within you. Rejoicing started with the verses that we read in verse 7. Rejoice in the Lord. It's an action, not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Very often we don't feel it. Rejoicing is a decision to make. It's about making much of the Lord. It's about praising him and delighting in him. It has nothing to do with us or our circumstances. Paul, when he wrote these verses, he was in prison. He was under the threat of death. He had been persecuted for years. Here's the guy who's telling us, rejoice in the Lord. In our day-to-day life this week, we're going to have two choices. Worry about your circumstances or keep your focus on the Lord. Simple enough. Yeah, maybe not to put into practice. You can trust him. You can choose prayer over those anxious thoughts dominating your mind. You can choose to lift your mind to the Prince of Peace. We're going to finish, just close this evening service now with a hymn, just while the guys come up. In Christ, we find peace with God. In Christ, we find peace that goes beyond circumstances. It is peace even in brokenness. We find in Christ real treasure. And so we're going to stand and sing 374 in the book. It is, I need no other argument. I need no other argument, 374. And now, so grateful for Louise for what you've shared. Perhaps some of you that has really spoke to you into situations that you're in. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will keep helping you through this, for He is the tower of strength. That Jesus is enough. We pray, Father, for the week ahead. Lord, we praise you that you are our peace beyond understanding and that it guards our hearts and our minds. Father, we just pray as we go our own separate ways, Father, would you minister on to us? Would you help us to respond, Father, to you? And Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to make us more like Christ. Father, maybe someone even tonight for the first will take that first step, Father, of putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that you're a God who saves, who hears the sinner's plea. Father, we just pray, would you take us our way? Lord, rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen.